Okay, so now let's talk about chapter 12, which is visualizing IT-based solution. What is the agenda? What is solution visualization? Steps towards the visualization of a software solution, the use case method, identifying potential users, writing use case, steps to write use case, an example of writing use case for an ATM. Tips about use cases, use case based estimation, use cases and their usability, benefits and elements of a use case, looking beyond ease of use, defining ease of use, planning, usability evaluations, and finally the summary. So first, let's understand what all our topic is about today, which is solution visualization. Now, what does it say here? The purpose of analysis is to understand the existing processes and the system. Okay. Firstly, till I do not understand what is my existing processes, what are the systems I'm using, it will be very difficult for me to visualize a solution. More importantly, the stated and the unstated or tacit needs and expectations about these processes and systems typically in today's change context or in a future context of oriented towards business and process transformation. So the first thing is I'm doing is when I look at transformation or when I'm looking at implementing a new solution, either it is going to take away an existing solution, transform, or it's going to build a new solution, a new automation completely in its place. So what you still need to go through all the processes and system to understand the commonality, what is the usage and how does it work before I can work towards the business or process transformation. Having understood the existing processes and the expectation, the challenge is in visualizing a solution that meets to needs and expectations. Now understand, I have the existing processes. I have the expectations from the new processes. Where did I get the expectation? When I did my user analysis, my stakeholder analysis, and when I did the requirement analysis of the various processes. And what now I need to do is visualize a solution that meets those needs and expectations. So somewhere I'm trying to create a collaboration between what is the need and what is the expectation. So for that, for me to even be able to give the solution to the development team or what to expect out of the solution, I will still need to visualize the solution in my head or and then probably be more articulate about giving the solution to the development team. So visualization itself can be viewed as an abductive process that transforms deep understanding of the existing processes and system and a wide variety of perspectives and expectations of users into a solution that emerges in a non-linear and abrupt fashion in the minds of the designer. So understand visualization itself is a very abductive process. That means it's a very difficult process that tells you that how deep does your understanding of the process and system go? What are the wide variety of perspectives or expectations of the user that goes into the solution, and you get a non-linear, abrupt solution that goes into the mind of the designer. So you have to be able to give that visualization from your mind to the mind of the designer. Steps towards visual of a software solution. However, to make this process of visualization more systematic, the steps are required. So everything that we do would require a certain amount of steps. Why are we following the step? Because it makes us the entire process or achieving the end goal much easier rather than doing it in a very abstract or unorganized manner. A deep understanding of existing system and processes is important. So please understand, for me to visualize a software solution or to work towards the process of visualization, first and foremost, what is important is a complete understanding of the existing and processes in the system. Now understand that when I talk about the existing processes and system, it's going to deep dive and tell me what were the user requirements or what basically what was the kind of system that were designed and how, what is the user friendliness of the design that allow made the users use them, or those systems have sustained over a period of time. Solution scoping can be achieved by placing a boundary around the processes on a data flow diagram. So when I'm designing the solution, we have discussed earlier when we in one of the chapters where we spoke about placing a boundary across around the processes, so on a data flow diagram, so that we can differentiate what is internal and what is external and what defines the processes that I want to work with or within the organization. Do they connect with external systems? Are they taking inputs or outputs? That all would matter with us, with it. Third, clearly demarcate the processes included in the solution scope and those falling outside the solution scope. That's what I just said, that once I draw the boundary around the processes, I know that the processes are following in the solution scope and I know what is following outside the solution scope. Identify the events and situations to include or exclude from the solution scope. So any event that is falling outside the boundary, or if I have written down, drawn the relevant diagram, maybe a UML, maybe an activity diagram or a BPMN diagram, which clearly defines, I can begin to split and identify events and situations which are away from the solution scope. So what do I have, which events I will include in my solution scope, which I will not include in my solution scope. Then solution visualization requires a use case method to analyze user needs and use cases for the proposed solution. So what does a use case method talk about is basically, and we are going to even discuss this as we get into more detail in the use case method, is so when we talk about the use case method, what am I going to do is basically find out the ways the user is going to interact with the system. How are those interactions going to take place with the system? So for that, I would need to analyze what are the requirements or needs of the users. And then based on the use cases, I would take maybe unique use cases for the proposed solution that I can mainly start getting an idea on how to design it. Build early prototypes of the solution on paper or screen to understand needs and visualize the final solution. So doing this in an agile or an iterative manner is something that would work greatly for the system. So in when you go into animation or even when you go into UI UX design, there is a feature called as storyboarding. When I talk about storyboarding, what am I saying is basically these are the steps. So let me take another example which is not related to our syllabus. So you have an animation picture that needs to be drawn, or in childhood what we used to do is a flipbook animation. Basically, what do you do in a flipbook animation? You draw each and every frame or each and every task, even the smallest of things that the user needs to do. So suppose if I'm moving my hand and I need to move from my hand, which is here, to maybe here. So when I talk about that movement, so I will first draw the hand over here, then I lift it higher, then I lift it further higher, another higher, and like this I will come up with multiple pages in my book, in the small flip book, that will define the the way the movement from your to your hand movement from your to your is taking place. So what have I done right now? I've created, so when I flip the book, I will see the continuous movement of the hand from year to year. So if something like it breaks in the middle of a year, I know that I may have missed a page or a visualization over there. So I would want to incorporate that so the animation appears smoothly. So this is the same kind of behavior. What does this help me to do? That when I'm animating it onto the system, I know how the things need to move, or is it working in the correct fashion. The same thing is talking about here, that build prototypes. So I will start drawing it on a piece of paper, saying, okay, this is where my login page will appear, this is where my logout page will appear, and all of that. What I can do is, before I go further and design it, which will require additional effort, I will go and show it to the user and see if it meets his requirement. Is he fine with the visualization or the drawings that have been created on the paper before we put them on the screen? So later, when I put them on the screen, I will once again take his verification before finally starting connections and making another step towards the final solution. So even the user who has an idea in his mind will have a more clear idea as to on which direction is the final solution moving. The use case method. The use case method is a popular way for PAs to visualize IT solutions. So use case method, especially when it comes to solution visualization, is something you would use very frequently. So you need to pay attention. Use cases are an effective method for visualizing interactive software solution. Considering human factors and usability is important for use case, they or that offer a great user experience. Today, I can probably have the best system, but if it's not user friendly, or if it is not, does not look good, then I probably will have the least amount of users using it. So if we start, and that's what even our agenda spoke about with the ATM system, the user interface is very simple. The choices are very limited. You put in your card, it tells you what language you want, what is your action, you enter your PIN, and you perform the action. Is it right, wrong? And that's what the system does. So you are giving a very interactive, it's an interactive system that is also an IT system. And when I'm designing the use case, I consider the human factors, the usability and all of that when I design the variety of use cases that I have. Ultimately, what am I trying to do is achieve a higher user experience. The method can be summarized into several steps. Identify potential users, known as actors, informal terms of the proposed solution. So first thing is, I define who are my potential users. I call them as actors. Why? Because they are working on, or they're acting to give me the kind of user interaction they would have with the system. The second thing is, identify the use cases for each user. That means, what are the use cases that each user can come up with? Ideally, try to have unique use cases for each user, so that prototyping or designing the solution, you can cover as many use cases as possible. Visualize the actual dialogue between the user and the system in executing the use case. So we will see that. I think it's much later where we have the ATM system, where so it's a very check balance withdraw deposit mini statement, but here it is, selects the withdraw option, displays menu screen, types the amount, displays withdraw scheme, asks for is the amount okay, yes, no, customer types yes, processes, dispenses, collect cash, asks if there are any more transaction, says no, logs out, ejects the card, and displays the default screen. So going back to what we were studying is, so I what I've done is, we have identified in that way the screens that will be used in the dialogue. That means I have withdrawn, what is the amount, he said yes to the confirms the amount, and so on. Build a screen based prototype. So probably I will design maybe draw out a small sketch or create a small prototype on the design before going further, before connecting the backend to the front end, or even designing how the backend will look for in each of the cases. Then what I'll do is basically my users or the actors in the system will verify that the prototype is working as designed, improve and finalize the visualization, that is the screen prototype. So based on verifying, showing the prototype to the user, they would give me certain feedback. I would again implement those feedback, show the final visualization again to the user. So that would not be the final visualization in case there is feedback. But then once the feedback cycle loop is over, it would be the final, and I would have a prototype for the screen or a final prototype for the screen. Identifying potential users. So firstly, how do I identify the potential users or the vectors that we were talking about? Identifying users is crucial and requires effort to missing out potential users. These are direct and indirect users of the system in the organization. Indirect users may not directly interact with the system, but benefit from the information and the outcomes. Now, identifying the users, why is it very crucial and you don't miss out on potential users, is because you have to find the direct users of the system and the indirect users. So people who are directly interacting with the system and people who are maybe just viewing the output for the system or using the system for another purpose. Also, what is important to understand that the screen for the users, would direct users would be very different from the indirect users. They would not be the same system, because one is entering data into the system and the other is getting the information or the outcome from the system. Even if I go back to the example that we are discussing, the ATM system, if you go notice any time, or if you have been standing outside your ATM when the cash is loaded, which is the admin console, that console is very different from basically the console that you see as a user. So the person entering money into the or loading money into the cash system has a very different user interface than obviously the person withdrawing the money from the system. So again, direct, both will be direct users, but with different outcomes and different information being displayed to them. The one way to identify such users is to send out a mail to all departments. So once I send out a mail, then I will understand who are my direct users and who are my indirect users. In customer facing situation, the customer may be the direct user, indirect user, and the customer service agent is the direct user. So in case we are talking about something like the call centers where we call up for Amazon or for any other service, when we connect to the customer service agent, in that case, if I'm designing a system specifically for the customer service agent, then he would be the direct user. That is irrespective of the fact that the customer would be the organization. But in this case, they will be the indirect user, because what they're doing is checking the outcomes and the information that is published. Designing interactions for direct and indirect user is different and requires consideration of their needs. This is what I said. So my direct users will be entering data into the system, and my indirect users are going to have a very different interface where my data would get summarized, and they would probably see a summary of the data or the detailed reports of the data which is happening, gaining information from the system. External stakeholders may benefit from access to the proposed solution, and BAs should always ask if there is any external stakeholders to consider. Again, we've discussed direct and indirect users which belong to the organization. But other than that, there can be some external stakeholders. So there could be people who are accessing the system from outside, or they would be viewing the proposed solution from the outside. So in that case, again, You need to identify what these stakeholders are or who these stakeholders are, and even do a stakeholder analysis to understand what kind of a requirement are they looking for. It could be completely different from the direct and the indirect user. A use case represents a specific business transaction that a user would undertake using the system. So, like I just showed you all the withdrawal system. So, when each and every use case should be a unique business transaction that or interaction that the system would and the user would take. So the user interaction of the user with the system is what a use case should represent. A use case serves as a base for developing a program or a set of programs that meet complete functionality for a user. So that's why I said that when I talk about the use cases, they should be unique use cases and such that you're trying to complete the entire functionality that the user will have with the system. So all the programs that are met and everything that needs to be done to complete the functionality. Okay, now let's look into writing use cases. How do I actually write a use case? So writing a use case is akin to writing a dialogue, in this case between the user and the system. So if we go back to and we will see that again, when I say that when you're writing a dialogue, that means imagine you're trying to visualize a scene and you're trying to understand how the two characters in the scene would interact with each other. What are the dialogues based on the situation that would pass with them, and what are the kind of interactions that you would have? Now, in that case, there are two humans, so their interaction could change. Here we are talking about a human and a system. So then we try to decide that if this is the option we select, what will thus how will the system respond to it? So we are when we are writing a use case, we are doing the same thing as writing a dialogue. This is usually written first at a higher language, easily understandable, understood by the user. Such use cases are known as functional usage. So before putting that into a code or maybe drawing as design, I would probably write it in very simple language or a language that the user can understand, and once he verifies it, it would go into the system. But when I write it in the user's language, it is basically called a functional use case. After determining the technology for implementing the use case can be gradually modified to reflect technical level details in the interaction. After that, the end users may or may not understand such use cases, therefore known as a technical use case. So once I have the use case or the dialogue written in the user's language, which has becomes my functional use case. So once I have the functional use case ready and approved by the user, I will now move it into the system. Now, as we know, technology is advancing. There are multiple technologies to be able to do the same task. So once I determine the technology to use do the use case, I would probably modify the more functional use case to a more technical level that will go into the system and will be easy for the development team to understand. This use case will not be understood by the users who are looking at the functional use case, and therefore this becomes what we call as a technical use case. For a BA, the most of the times that you will be using is basically using a functional use case. However, since the nature of the interface design, such as website, desktop screen, smartphone, ATM, is already known, many BA write use cases that include appropriate technical terms such as screen, home page, and so on, which are generally understood by the end users. Now, understand, we have been surrounded by technology since the advent of mobiles. So, there are certain terms which are common to any device or interface that you select, and such terms are also understood by the end users. So, instead of having a separate, completely different language for the functional use case and a different language for the technical use case, sometimes I would try to find a bridge between the both, and use some of the technical terms like screen, home page, login page, also in the functional use case. So it is neither a functional use case in true terms, nor is it a technical use case, but it is understood by the end user as well as by the development team. How to write use cases. So part one is, so right now what we are discussing is writing a use case and the things that it would involve. Now we understand the steps to write use cases. Part one, defining the process and the scope. What to do I need to do in that? Three things. Write a goal statement. What is the statement or what is the goal my use case is trying to achieve? Identify the stakeholders. That means identify who is going to be part of that use case. Define what is in and out of the scope. Again, like we discussed previously, the setting up the boundaries so that we can define what is in the scope and what is out of the use case scope. Then comes part the second part. So the first part was the purpose and scope. The second part talks about the various elements of the use case. So use case consists of scenarios that describe how a user interacts with the system, and elements required in every use case include users, precondition, basic flow, alternate flow, exception flows, and post conditions. So understand that when I have a user interacting with the system, every use case will consider a particular scenario or a particular flow that goes into the system and how the information flows into the system. So if every use case will definitely have the user, the precondition, that means if I'm talking about an ATM machine, is the card accepted or not? If the card is not accepted, nothing will go through. So the first condition that the card is okay is a precondition. Then there would be a basic flow, like I select, enter the, put in my card, I select the withdraw cash option. It shows me what is the amount. I verify the amount. It dispenses the cash, asks me if I want to do another transaction. If no, it logs me out of the system and returns the card. So this is the basic flow of withdrawing the card, cash. Then I can have alternate flow that I want to do another transaction or entering the PIN. Exception flows where the PIN is incorrect, the card is incorrect. And finally, the post conditions of the use case, what happens after the use case has been completed. Okay, so we discussed right now users, precondition, basic flow, alternate flow, exception flow, and post conditions. I did explain all of these, but let's look at the definition. Who are the users? People who engage in the activities described in the use case. So people who are interacting with the system. Preconditions are necessary elements in place before starting the use case. So, like I said, that a basic precondition is that the card that is inserted into the ATM machine is okay. The basic workflow is the primary procedure users follow to achieve the system's goal. Like I said, I enter my card, I select the withdraw option, I confirm the amount, I enter the amount, I confirm the amount, and it dispenses the cash, and basically after that it would log me out of the system if I don't want to do any further transactions. So that becomes my basic flow. Then when I come to the alternate flows, describe less common actions that the user might take. That means he might choose to do another transaction and things like that. Exception flow details what happens when the users cannot achieve their goal. That means I confirm the amount and I say no, this is not the amount, or I enter the incorrect PIN. So in those conditions, what happens or what is the flow that exists? Post conditions are elements that must be present when the use case is completed. That means basically log out of the system and give back the card. So part define how the user will be used the technology or process, describe the normal course of events, and repeat the steps for all other functions and users. So that is how each and every use case would be written, or the step to part two of each and every use case. Now let's come to part three, or writing a value, what is called as writing a valuable use case. So now I am going, first we finish the functional use case, now we go into the technical use case. What does the technical use case say? Capture what the technology or the business process is going to do. Keep the use case primarily textual. Learn the most relevant details. So first, let us do, what is the technology going to capture, or where does the, what is the business process doing in that case? And here we again keep it more textual, which is a function use case, so that we can learn what details are the most relevant.